You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
We are living in a very unusual time in world history. My wife and I came here 49 years ago to this church, and what God has accomplished with prophecy is so amazing. What I would preach 49 years ago, like the coming of Jesus Christ, and now when I see where we are, you know, God's word's declaring when there is political unrest and corruption, we're close. I've not watched one clip of the news since last election. But I tell you what, what I see come, I can read some things on my phone, the gutter mouth of two people running for office for president of the United States. We've got to put someone in that office that gets saved and their mouth gets cleaned up. Both Mr. Trump and Mrs. Harris, I don't know how to say her first name, their mouths are garbage. And Democrats and Republicans and political corruption and lying and stealing and cheating. You just tell a lie about your opponent and it's just downright lie. They just live that way.
Right. That's right.
Yes. Means the coming of the Lord's coming nigh.
Yes. Oh yes.
When you see religious corruption, 1,400 pastors are quitting the ministry this month. Every month, 1,400 quit. Over 5,000 churches in America closed their doors this year. We're in trouble. Homes are falling apart. Marriages are falling apart. Homes are falling. And by the way, if that's one of you and you're here, God bless you for being here. I'm not criticizing you. The Bible says in the last days, children will rise up against parents. And we live there. And if you're not ready for the rapture, that's the next event. I preached on it last Sunday night. When Jesus comes again and takes his people out of here, takes us to heaven, tribulation begins on planet Earth for 7 years like you have never seen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And if you're not born again, you're going to live through that. You say, well, I'm going to get saved. No, the Bible says you'll be sent into strong delusion. You'll believe a lie.
Right.
Today's the day of grace. If you're not saved, you ought to get saved today.
Amen.
And trust Christ today. Come to know life eternal. Would you take your Bibles today for the message? We're in the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John's the fourth book in the New Testament in the Gospel of John. And I want to read several verses to you. They all have the same theme in chapter number 18, 19, 20. And you'll see this theme. And I want to speak to you about that theme in just a moment. I need the message this morning. I've seen myself in the message where it's convicting to me. I've been singing this song this week to myself, search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, and know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. I'm not suggesting that there's another woman or I'm stealing money from the church. But this thing that we think you can live a perfect sinless life, we all have sin. And that's one of the great battles in my life for 49 years I've been here, especially on Saturday night. I often have prayed, Lord, I don't feel like I should even mount that pulpit. My life is so short of what you want it to be. And the closer I get to that heavenly home, I read a preacher years ago and he said this. It was a great man of God, lived long before my time. He said, the closer I get to eternity, the more I just want to crawl into a back door in heaven unnoticed. And I'm not trying to down myself, but in comparison to what I could have done, I've done so little for God. I was praying this week of all the many times I miss witnessing when I should have witnessed, all the times I missed praying when I should have prayed, All the times I should have had more deeds of kindness. And you know, I try to do all those things. But we're so frail. Today I want to preach and speak to you what God's been dealing with me. It seems like it's so easy to become self-centered. We take selfies. And today, I want you to see a disciple, an unknown name, but we knew who he was. He never referred to himself, and he was the one, the forerunner. He came and spoke of the Jesus Christ and who he was. And John wrote 5 books in the New Testament. What an amazing man. God revealed to him the prophecy of the book of Revelation. Wonderful man. But he never promoted himself. You know that your marriage problems could be solved if you'd stop promoting yourself. And if you would live for your husband, or if you would live for your wife, or if we would live for our children, or live for our parents. You know, God's blessed you with such wonderful parents. So you don't know my parents. Our Sunday school class today, we recognize that the average daily wage worldwide in America is $6.85 a day. Minimum wage in Santa Clara is $18 an hour. I'm telling you, God's blessed us. And then we think because we don't have the brand name or this or that, that we're really sacrificing. Nearly 50 million children are going to bed at night nearly starved to death. 55% of the continent of Africa, the people are so malnutritioned. They're shorter in stature and in weight. Everything has been reduced because of the fact they don't eat. I've had the joy of traveling these countries of the world, and I have seen poverty. I think when you go to Manila, the Philippines, you'll see still people overweight, and you'll see some, and it's very prosperous. Now, I know there's squatters between the railroad tracks. I've seen all that and things of that nature. But you go where we began 400 churches in Iloilo, or outside of Iloilo, on those, and you'll see, if they see a dog running, Brother Martinez, you see the ribs. The people are not overweight. The hungry for God. And God's doing a great work in those places. I think when you go to the leper colony and see the lepers just laying there, and digits missing, or arms missing, or legs missing. You see the great poverty in this world, and yet it seems like we think we're doing without. I'm not being noticed. No one sees how important I am. I deserve more. I deserve better. I'm coming to you not to preach at you, but to preach to us. I want to leave out these doors in just a few moments and say, I want to die to Jack Treiber. Die to self is what the Bible talks about. He must increase, John 3:30. I must decrease. I've got to blow my horn at that person because they got one space ahead of me. I got to blow my horn at this person because I was going in that parking lot and I'm jumping out of the car. I'm going to deal with this situation. That's all self-promotion. I have my rights. I have my way. I'm more important than anyone else. John's such a tremendous example of a man that denied himself. In chapter 18, I want you to read 2 verses with me. First of all, we'll use our Bibles. That's a good idea at church. Chapter 18, verse 15 and 16. Ready? Begin. And Simon Peter followed Jesus.
And so did another disciple. That disciple was known as the high priest. And went in with Jesus into the house of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. And went out another disciple, which was known as the high priest. And stayed in the prayer at the door. And brought out Peter.
I want you to notice verse 15. And so did another disciple. John is writing this book, but he didn't refer to himself. John was there. He just called himself another disciple. Look what he says below that, and that disciple. Not John, I'm talking about me. I'm here, number one man. That disciple, that other disciple. Notice he said in verse number 16, that other disciple. He's talking about himself, but he's not promoting himself. He's not inserting his name in there. I'm just another disciple. Look what the Bible says, if you will. Let's go to chapter number 19 and 19, verse number 26. And Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, and saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. And then he said to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her. Even Jesus said, John, I know your reputation, what you are. You don't want to be lauded. You got to take care of mama for me. That disciple. Notice what he says in chapter 20 and verse number 2. As she running and cometh to Simon Peter, this was on the first day of this, when the stone was rolled away. And she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the, what's the next two words? Other disciple, whom Jesus loved. Look at verse number 3. Peter therefore went forth, and that, say it together, and that, please say it together, other disciple came to supper. So they ran together, and the other disciple, John, that's me, outran Peter. Look at verse number 8. And then went in also that, what's the word? He's in the grave tomb of Jesus. I mean, he's at the cross. He's at the resurrection outside the tomb. He's in the tomb. He's preeminent. And yet he keeps referring to himself, that other disciple. That other disciple, chapter 21, please. In chapter 21 and verse number 7. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loveth. He says, it's just that disciple. Today I'm coming to you on the subject, that other disciple. That other disciple. It's him. It'd be like me saying of myself as I was boasting, Jack Treber came to the Sepulchre, pastor of North Valley Baptist Church, Santa Clara, California. Jack Treber went into the Sepulchre, pastor of North Valley Baptist Church, Santa Clara, California. That disciple at the cross, Jack Treber, North Valley Baptist Church, Santa Clara, California, 95054. Website, www, what, I don't think you say www anymore, whatever it is. Today I want you to see it's self-denial. Life is about self-denial. If any man come after me, let him deny himself. Marriage will never work when you're narcissistic, when it's all about me. We mistreat our children, we mistreat our wives, we mistreat our husband. I was speaking to a police officer this morning before Sunday school, and just a wonderful man, a wonderful wife, and raised a wonderful family. But he's involved basically with domestic violence cases. And his heart was, you could just see it as he was talking, just broken. How that a man can beat up a woman, or a woman beat up a man. How we can hurt one another with our fists, or hurt one another with our words, or our actions, or think, you know, I'm the chief one in charge here. I'm the husband. I'm the wife. I'm the wife and the mother. I'm the father. Everybody bows down to me. It's all about me. That will never work in a marriage. That will never work in a home. That will never work in a job. Well, they overlook me. I'll tell you what, I'm filing a lawsuit. Why? We live in lawsuit alley all over America, and they're suing everybody. The Bible says that other disciple, seems like pride is in and humility is out. He did not promote himself. He never boasted of himself. You have a talent. And I have to be very, very careful of this. God's given me the privilege for most of my ministry, about almost 50 years traveling to go to churches across America, especially and preach for Monday night, Tuesday night, and then home. And you can always sense it. You can always feel it if the soloist thinks they're pretty good. And granted, we have the most amazing man here that can sing. And we're grateful, and the choir leader, everybody. And yes, he does it with enthusiasm. Yes, he does it with a smile. But he does it with a humble heart. You can just see that God's using him. There's nothing wrong about having talent. Nothing wrong with having gifts. But there's something wrong when we think we're God's gift to humanity. I don't have to worry about this church asking me to sing a solo because I'm not a soloist. But I hope that I count it a high honor if they just let me sing a solo in Sunday school class. I was working for a pastor 50 some years ago as an assistant pastor, and he said, "Now, Brother Jack, it's your first Sunday here. I want you to sing in my Sunday school class." And I remember the song to this day, what I sang. And I sang, and it was terrible. It was not terrible, it was awful. Not only was it terrible and awful, it was beyond the charts of incredibly terrible, awful. And that day I led the music, I led the choir, and pastor kept saying, this is the greatest day of music in our church's history. Brother Jack, you've done such a good job, choir, congregational singing, all of it. But he kept writing notes when I was leading music. The next day he wrote, called me in his office. He said, let me just tell you everything you did wrong yesterday. And by the way, I was excited about it. I'm learning. He said, one, don't ever sing a solo in this church again. You don't have a solo voice. This preacher, I think, was tone deaf. He might be watching now. I know he's alive. Don't ever sing a solo. You do not have a solo voice. You know how offended I got? Zero. Because he was right. All right, you want me to sing for you? I can sing for you. But the thing is, we get so offended, or we get so pumped up that we think we're the... When he asked me to sing in Sunday school, it'd be like asking Brother Oxendine to sing in Sunday school. And I think I'm bad, but I'll tell you what, when I'm next to him, I'm a star. I'm amazing. I mean, the guy is smart, he's intelligent, but a crummy singer. Amen. College students were in here. I get an amen on that one real fast. But when I was asked to sing in Sunday school, I thought, this is amazing. I get to sing. When Miss Treber and I came here, I could sing with somebody, can't now anymore, but we didn't have any special, and she was our pianist, and she'd play, and sometimes I'd have to sing a solo in the church. We didn't have anybody. We didn't have an Alvin Martinez and all the others, and sometimes we sang a duet. Remember that? Yeah, I do too. As soon as we started getting people around here, we stopped singing together. She was good, but I'm not good. Stop thinking so highly of yourself. One of our staff members years ago was at a mall, and a 49er football player was there, and this is probably about 25 years ago. And he went up to the man and said, great ball player. He said, will you sign this autograph? No, I'm not going to sign that. Once I do that, there'll be others here. I don't want to be wasting my time with signing autographs for all you. And I can understand you approach a person, but I thought to myself, there's coming a day that you'll be happy if they let you put a table up at Walmart as they come in and sign your autograph. He must increase. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, who made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man. Being fashioned as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven and things in earth and under the earth. Every toe shall confess that he's Lord. I want you to know that Jesus humbled himself. But he's coming back one day, and after he raptures us and coming back to set up his kingdom, he's going to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I'm telling you today, when we exalt ourselves, God says, God resisteth the proud. He giveth grace to the humble. Well, I tell you what, I've got this good education. Consequently, I got this good job. And man, I'm just doing so great. Yeah, but 10 years, you may not have a brain. And I don't say that lightly. You might have something to happen where you don't have the ability to care even for yourself. You ever hear of car accidents? You ever hear of strokes? You ever hear of meningitis? My parents moved here in 1953. And my twin sister was with us, of course, and my older sister. We came to this area, San Carlos. We were moving to Whittier, California. And all of a sudden, my twin sister, who was far advanced than me, speaking and other things in life, all that she could do that I could not do. That little girl got spinal meningitis in San Carlos up here. There went our plans, because for the next couple of years, there was just the rehabilitation and all of it. And God gave her back a sharp mind and all those things, the ability to walk again and talk again. But I'm going to tell you something. Our life is fragile. I think of the people that are watching out of our own memberships right now, and those that are watching around the globe that are shut in. Some are very young, and life has a way of twisting and turning. God gives you a brain. God gives you a voice. God gives you a heart. God gives you something to use it for his glory. Don't increase and boast of yourself. The young girl was so beautiful, just beautiful as could be, and she was raised in all these foster homes. She was raised in one home where her mom, and she was being raised, dad left, and her mom was in and out of mental institutions. Raised in one home where they rented rooms out to men, and those men would abuse that little girl as an elementary child. And she started getting really beautiful in junior high, they abused her, in high school, they abused her. Someone caught it up with her and saw she was so talented, so beautiful, they took her to Hollywood, made a star out of her. They changed her name to Marilyn Monroe, the beauty queen of Hollywood. She died of an overdose and called her agent and said, I'm going to commit suicide. I'm overdosing tonight. He didn't say, don't do that. She said, you know, all I wanted in life was to be loved by somebody. He goes, well, I don't love you. Call someone else. And the phone was off the receiver. That was the last call she had made. She had beauty. She had talent. She had it all. She had fame. She had money. But no one really cared. Sometimes those with the most pomp and think I'm so great are the people that are hurting the most, because they always are promoting who they are. John said, I'm just that other disciple. I'm just that one. Self-denial is what he was demonstrating. Too often, if we are not careful, we put confidence in our skills and our abilities, but that turns to rebellion. I read an article of an old preacher from about 100 years ago. He said, all of us with self-examination, we must listen to the voice within us. The voice in your own life, it will startle you if you listen. Everyone that exalteth himself will be humbled. Take business in your own life, in your own attempts. God will humble you. Take your wisdom. You'll ruin yourself. You cannot elevate yourself. The supreme sin of all of our lives is self exaltation. I'm out of time, but I want you to look in chapter 19 at verse 26. Self-denial, verse 26. And when Jesus therefore saw the mother, that disciple standing by whom he loved, he said, "Behold thy mother." And the disciple said, "Behold thy mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. You know, when you just become that other disciple, not only is there self-denial, but there's service. How can I help somebody? Not how can someone help me? If I can help somebody as I travel on. If I can help somebody with a word or with a song. Light this week, let's leave out these doors and go help people. Don't waste your life bashing everybody else on the internet. People that do that are telling you, "I am so discouraged with my life. I have to find someone else to trash." And you become the policeman or policewoman of everyone else, every other person's life. My dad, I'd tattle on my sister. He said, Jack, you mind Jack. You take care of Jack. And everything will be fine, son. Never yelled at me. Just said, just take care of yourself, son. When we really are just that disciple, we want to serve people. I believe I pastor the church in America that's the example of people that serve others. I watched again this week at our missions and stewardship conference. I watch what you're doing. I go to elementary chapel every week. I watch your kids. High school chapel, I watch your kids. College chapel, I watch the students. We have a college here, and at night when they all get back from work at 10, 11, 12, 1, whatever, these parking lots are jam-packed. But before you ever have a service where you come, about an hour ahead of time, they got to start moving their cars off here. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, special meetings nights, and they have to move them off. No one's ever complained. No one's ever, "I'm not coming to this college because there's not a parking stall for me." That's what you say, "I'm willing to serve so others might have a place." There's self-denial when you're just that other disciple, and there's service, and I have to close. I see there's a steadfastness about your life. Chapter 20, verse 3-4. The other disciple, here it is, whom Jesus loved. Peter went forth, and the other disciple came to the sepulcher, and they ran, both of them, verse number 8, and went in, and the other disciple. And the Bible said the other disciple came to the sepulcher. You know, he just kept, even though Jesus died, he's at the sepulcher, just keeps doing what he's supposed to do. It's a strong statement. Every church in America has revolving Christians. I'm mad. I'm going down the road. I'm going down the street. I'm going across the valley. I'm going here and there. And we're jumping around mad at everybody. But if you could just get right with yourself and right with God, all these things come to pass. And just stick and stay steadfast. If I had time, I was going to take you back to Judges. I'll summarize it. Gideon needs to win a battle over the Midianites. But he was afraid and fearful. And God said in chapter 6, verse 12, "If thou fearest to go down to the Midianites, take Phurah," P-H-U-R-A-H. Phurah is only mentioned twice in the Bible. And if you fear to go down, if you're afraid, Gideon, you're the leader, but if you're afraid, take Phurah with you. And verse 13 says, "And Gideon took Phurah." It announced he was afraid. But God raised up a man by the name of Phurah to help him. God has raised up you to help your mother and father in that nursing home. God has raised you up to help usher your dad into eternity and usher your mother into eternity. I've told our teenagers for years, there has to be somebody that knows how to usher you into adulthood. And thank God there was a sixth grade school teacher that helped usher me into adulthood. And there was an aunt that helped usher me in a few years later to adulthood, and a mother and a pastor's wife. See, all ladies, predominantly. A young man does not want to disappoint his dad. I admired my dad so much, but you know, all those ladies, except for the school teacher, I never met her husband. All those ladies, when I became a man, all my loyalty began to go to a man. My dad, my uncle, my pastor. Those women helped usher me into adulthood. That's why, sir, you're so important. You cannot quit on your family. It might be that you can rescue your grandkids. It might be that you can rescue your great-grandkids. But you can't give up. We sing, be steadfast, unmovable. Today I'm just coming on behalf of that other disciple who died to self, who served others, and stayed steadfast when his whole world caved in and his leader had been crucified. Our heads are bowed today and our eyes are closed. Our Father, I hope it's made, landed in the heart of people and made sense. I don't know, but I do know it. I can't get it out of my heart. You spoke to me about this other disciple. You spoke to me about just this nameless person who denied himself and was not promoted himself. And oh, there's so much self-will. I wonder how many times I've worked and served you in the flesh and self-will. My own pride, self-exaltation. Lord, I pray that we would be willing to not be so reactionary and so offended so easily, so mad and upset at everything in life. Living with anger. We live in an angry world right now. We see it politically. We see it religiously. We see it in business. And we see it in homes. Just anger. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Are you saved? Don't play with this thing. It could be a heart attack this week, or it could be the rapture this week. Don't play with this thing. Get saved. Trust Christ.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.